From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Later on in the show, Tennessine, prettiest element I ever seen. But first, before we get to the more complicated elements on the far end of the periodic table, we wanted to know more about why the periodic table even exists in the first place. To trace the history and development of chemistry's cookbook of the elements, we turn to Matt Schaefer-Powell.
And my search took me to the most delightful, brilliant man over in the chemistry department at the University of Tennessee. He's George Schweitzer, 91 years old, a full-time chemistry professor, and he loves explaining the importance of the periodic table to novices like me.
The periodic table is the fundamental basis of the science of chemistry, which describes how all of these 118 elements interact with each other to make up the world around us.
And Matt, we're taught that Dmitri Mendeleev, a Russian chemist, is the father of the periodic table. But what people may not know is that he didn't come up with it out of thin air, nor was he the first person to propose a periodic table.
Absolutely not. Mendeleev published his table in 1871, but George Schweitzer tells me the origins of it can actually be traced way back in time to around 460 BC and a guy named Empedocles.
And he was the first person we know of that claimed that there were such things as elements: earth, air, fire, and water.
Just four elements. So Empedocles didn't really have to create a chart.
No, we didn't really spend a lot of time arranging the elements until 1789. That's when a Frenchman named Antoine Lavoisier included them in what's considered the first modern chemistry textbook. Now, by then, we realized that earth, air, fire, and water were actually substances made up of other elements. And by the time Lavoisier wrote his book, we knew of 21 of those elements.
And Lavoisier gave us techniques in order to discover many, many more, and as such got his title of Father of Chemistry.
Now, students of world history will note that this was right around the time of the French Revolution, and Lavoisier was considered French nobility, which means he didn't survive the revolution, nor did he get to appreciate the revolution he had started. In the 80 years or so following his execution in France, we discovered 41 more elements.
Bringing us up to, what, 62?
Right. And then along comes a guy named John Newlands. He decided to lay the elements out in order of their atomic weight.
And what he found was that number 2 in the order resembled element number 9, resembled element 16, resembled element 23.
And so on. Basically, he discovered that every element shares characteristics with another element 8 places down the list.
Almost like a full octave on a musical scale.
Yeah, that's right. And that didn't escape Newlands' attention either.
Newlands was a classical scholar also, and he knew his Greek very, very well. And the Greeks long, long time ago talked about the music of the spheres. And so he knew this connection very well.
So Newlands arranges these elements in 8 separate columns. Each column contains elements that share certain characteristics. And a soon-to-be-famous chemist took note. By then, Dmitri Mendeleev had 66 elements to work with. And this is an interesting story. Mendeleev created 66 cards, like playing cards, each with one element printed on it. And he'd take this deck of cards along with him on his train trips.
And he played, as you will, a game of solitaire in which he tried different arrangements of it, and he finally arrived at the arrangement that we today call the periodic table.
One quick note, right around the same time Mendeleev was making his discovery, a chemist by the name of Lothar Meyer came up with a very similar chart. However, Mendeleev published his first, and thus became the father of the periodic table.
And Meyer, what became of him?
Yeah, don't worry about him. He did just fine. Lothar Meyer introduced many other innovations in chemistry, and as George Schweitzer put it, he became a chemistry star himself.
Matt, this has been really interesting. Thanks for checking into it for us.
Thank you.
You can find a longer version of Matt's conversation with chemist George Schweitzer at our website, WUOT.org. now that we know a little bit about why the periodic table is the way it is, we can explore what it tells us about tennessine. That's one of the brand new elements confirmed late last year and discovered by a team of researchers working in Russia and the United States.
My name is Jim Roberto. I'm an associate laboratory director at Oak Ridge National Laboratory.
Roberto is a member of that international team, and he told me tennessine is a strange breed, the kind of element that doesn't easily fit expectations.
We've only made about 22 atoms of tennessine. They survive for typically 50 to 70 milliseconds, so there hasn't been enough time to do chemistry. However, because of its position in the periodic table, we can estimate what we think the properties might be.
When you plot it out on the periodic table, tennessine falls into a vertical column called the halogen elements. That group contains some pretty familiar members, including chlorine and iodine.
But it has properties that are kind of intermediate between a halogen and a metal. So it doesn't fit exactly in the halogen period.
In fact, when you start getting into the low hundreds on the periodic table, and tennessine is element 117, things get a little weird. Electrons buzz around the nucleus at nearly the speed of light, and the nucleus itself is unstable, shedding particles and breaking down in fractions of a second. But as chemists get a better grip on tennessine, the family resemblance might begin to emerge.
Typically, the characteristic is that they are one electron short of a closed shell, and the result is they have a great affinity for picking up an electron.
They like to bond with other elements,
right,
to help complete that
And that
circle.
Makes them very reactive.
When we talk about tennessine being at the bottom of the known halogens column, does that mean that it's also missing an electron from its outer shell?
So from its electronic structure, yes.
The personals ad might read single element, new to town, unstable, reactive, searching for an electron to complete me. That's the beginning of what chemists know about tennessine. But with just 22 atoms of it known to exist on Earth, lots more study must be carried out to see how one of the newest elements fits into the old periodic table. That is The Method. Subscribe to our podcast through iTunes. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.